the reading of the gospel lesson. Let's get ready. It's taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sin must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending to you what my Father promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, overwhelmed with joy. And they were continuously in the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, regrettably, it happens to all of us. We wake up one morning and we realize that we have become the parent to someone who used to parent us. Maybe it is one of our biological parents, or it could be a grandparent, a sibling, or even a close family friend. It really doesn't matter who it is. It's the realization that the very person we once turned to for advice and guidance, the one who taught us and nurtured us, that person is no longer able to take care of themselves in so many ways. Maybe basic decisions have become hard for them. And the simplest of tasks that they used to do without even thinking, they're just not there anymore. And when that realization comes to us, it causes us to stop and reevaluate our own lives. What are we after? What does it mean? Father Michael Renninger tells about the day his grandmother suffered a serious stroke. He remembers the shock and the disbelief when his mom called him with the news. As he hung up the phone, all he could think about was making the journey home. He wanted to be with his family, especially his grandma. When he finally arrived there, he was told that the stroke had done some significant damage. Well, she obviously understood what they were saying, and she could follow some simple commands. Her speech had been badly affected, as had her ability to control her movements. Since she was spending most of her time sleeping, her mother asked if he would mind sitting with her while she and her other siblings went home for some rest and to clean up and to eat. And as luck would have it, they hadn't been gone very long when his grandmother woke up. It was obvious that she knew who he was, and she was glad that he was there. But there were other things that were obviously still more important. She managed to communicate to him through her garbled speech that she was really hungry and she wanted something to eat. When they finally brought her her tray, she looked it over and she managed to make another thing very plain.
She wanted to start with the pudding.
Now, never having had the experience of physically caring for another human being, you know, he is a priest. He picked up the pudding and he put it in front of her and he handed her the spoon. And somehow or the other, she managed to grasp the spoon and tried to get it to her mouth. But she'd had a stroke. And after several failed experiences, she dropped the spoon. She got a big smile on her face and said in a fairly clear voice, "Well, Mikey, it looks like it's your turn." And I don't know about all of you, but to be truthful, there are moments in my life I really don't want to take my turn. I may have watched someone perform the same task countless times before. They may have even given me concise step-by-step instructions. But the idea of doing it myself, it's frightening. What I really want is for them to continue doing it and for me to take the back seat. But we don't always get what we want, do we? I mean, just ask the disciples. In today's gospel lesson, the same unthinkable thing was about to happen. It had been 40 days since the resurrection. And there were things that were different. But then there were things that were the same, things that were very comforting. Jesus was still very much in charge. And for 40 days, he continued to share life with them. And he continued teaching them what they needed to know. But as usual, we are talking the disciples. Regardless of how often he told them that he would be leaving, that it would be their turn, that they would have to take hold of the ministry, that they would have to lead it on, they wouldn't believe him. They couldn't. Or they wouldn't believe that he was actually going to leave and that they would have to do something. I mean, why would he leave? They weren't ready. They couldn't do the things that he did. They couldn't perform miracles or teach the multitudes. They didn't know what to say. Even if they did, who would listen to them? They were a bunch of nobodies. Besides, they needed him. There was still so much they didn't understand, so many things they needed to learn. They'd be happy to take their turn later, not now. And the very idea, it panicked them. Now, have you ever been there? Has something in life ever happened to you that just was overwhelming? I have. I remember the day I was kneeling on the floor doing CPR on my mother. Well, I knew when I rolled over that day that
The chances were she wasn't going to recover. She's black. I knew what that meant. Her heart and her lungs had stopped at the same time. But I had to try. And so I began doing CPR on her, and all the while I was doing the CPR, I was yelling at the women around me what they were supposed to be doing, and my mind was going 1,000 miles an hour. I was trying to save my mother. I was thinking of everything that I wanted to say to her, still things that I needed to know from her. I knew that without her, there would be no more going forward. I mean, she always knew what to do. She always had a good excuse. She always knew. How was I going to go on? I had to do something. My mom. She was my fiercest protector, my loudest cheerleader, and my most honest critic. There was no way I could step up and take her place. I mean, the entire thing was like a slow motion nightmare. And there I was. I was on the floor doing CPR, shouting instructions, knowing exactly the next steps that needed to be taken. She is the one who taught me CPR. She was the one who taught me the importance of remaining calm so I could think clearly and respond appropriately during a crisis. She was the one who had nurtured me in the faith. She was the one. She was the one who knew that despite my reluctance, I could and I would be able to carry those lessons into the future when it was finally my turn. I didn't want to take my turn, but the decision wasn't mine to make. The day that Jesus ascended into heaven, it was next to the crucifixion, the most traumatic experience the disciples had faced. They didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't know how they could carry on. They were frightened. And yet, during those 40 days, when they were together with Jesus, he had finally accomplished what it had taken him 3 years of trying to do. According to Luke, Jesus opened their minds. Knowing the time had finally come to leave, knowing that they were going to be on their own, knowing that they were still reluctant to move ahead without him, Luke goes on to tell us that while he was blessing them, he withdrew and was carried up. You see, what the disciples had yet to learn was that the blessing, with the Holy Spirit's help, would show them the way to provide everything they needed. It would provide them with what the knowledge that they needed, the words that they needed, the actions that they needed. The Holy Spirit would be there to serve them so they could serve others. All they had to do was remember the blessings that were already theirs, and trust that the blessings that were yet to come. Jesus lifted his hands and he blessed them. Yeah, friends, that's all we need to do. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit is already working within us so that when the time comes, we will have the wisdom, the understanding, the courage, and the strength to carry us through and to propel us forward. That day on the floor, that's what I learned. My mother had already taught me everything I needed to know. The disciples moved ahead. They learned that Jesus had already given them everything they needed. They just needed to trust the blessing. They needed to move forward regardless. That's all we need to do. Just trust the Holy Spirit. And then we can step up. We can take our turn. We can carry on, even in the most difficult of situations, because we are not alone. The Holy Spirit has been with us and will remain with us. The Spirit will strengthen us and guide us so that when we face those struggles that are just a part of life, we will finally discover our strengths, our ability to carry on, all of them gifts from God. The time had come for the disciples to say goodbye. It was now their turn to carry on without Jesus by their side. But he had opened their minds. He had taught them what they needed to know. He had blessed them so they could be on their way. All they had to do was trust him and trust themselves. Well, now it's our turn. What is God calling you to do? What task is looming ahead of you? What decisions do you need to make? What role do you have to assume? Maybe you're facing something that's frightening you. And you're afraid that you don't know how to handle it or how you're going to get through it. Well, trust me when I tell you that all you have to do is trust God. You already have the blessings you need to carry on. And he has promised to be by your side. It's your turn. It's my turn. The Spirit is here. What else do we need? To God be the glory. And all God's children say,
Amen. Amen.